We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 today, and as I just was sharing with the Lord and praying about, what a blessing it is to get God's balances, because He does everything decently and in order, and so it is with the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we had last week chapter 13, which is the love chapter, and we ended with, now abide or remain faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And that's why we have these balances in the Word that God gives us about the gifts of the Spirit, so that we can be more lovers of other souls as He's the lover of our souls. That demonstrating that love of being mindful of the people around us as we gather together to meet. And so let's go ahead and begin reading in chapter 14. And actually, as we read, these will be sounding very familiar from the last couple of weeks, because as we were looking at the different gifts, we came across prophecy and tongues, interpretation of tongues, and we used many of these scriptures right in the first part to help us with our definitions. And so let's go ahead and read. It says, now follow after love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And you remember that as we had our definition of prophecy, it is the going forth of God's word. Now, it can be, and many times is, forthtelling, something that God's going to do in the future, but also just the fact that it's God's word coming forth. That's really prophecy. God's, it says that the Spirit of Jesus Christ is prophecy and revelation. And so whenever Jesus speaks in and through any of us, it has a prophetic tone. It has the magicalness of the Word of God, the engrafted Word of God, which we receive, which is able to save our souls. And so, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks unto man, not unto man, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. If we have a gift of a different language that we didn't know before, it's just coming from God, whether it be a gift of a language of men or of angels, we don't really understand what we're saying. And so that's the point here. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to three things. When you speak forth a word to a person, and you know what? You can have a special word for the person next to you in the pew. God might give you something to say to somebody, and sometimes you don't even know it. But you're just sharing your heart with them. Maybe they've shared some little burden, and you share your heart, and it's really a great thing that God's bringing forth a little prophetic word through you, God's word for them. And I love that idea. Boy, brother, I think I might have a word for you. I love that expression, because that happens and can happen between Christians. We'll see that more as we go through this chapter. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to three things: to edify them, to build them up. And that's what we want to do, and that's what love says. Let's build somebody up, not tear them down. Let's not tear them down. Let's build them up. And so that's what God's word does when it comes forth. It edifies, it builds up. To edification, number two is exhortation. Now, exhortation is encouraging to action. So sometimes when you say, you know, you really ought to give that a try, it seems like you're good at it, that's an exhortation. You're encouraging someone to action. And it's a very natural thing that happens between Christians and people, that it might be a word from God to practice this and go with it, because you sound like you'd be good at it. Hallelujah, that's an encouragement. You know, Barnabas means son of encouragement. That's what Barnabas means. And there was a man in the Bible whose name was called Barnabas, and his name was actually changed to Barnabas because he was such an encourager. And he is the one that God sent to the Apostle Paul. when the Apostle Paul was at his home in Tarsus, Barnabas was sent by God up there to encourage him to get out there on the front and start teaching the Bible and start ministering, and he became one of the greatest apostles we ever saw. He wrote most of the books in the New Testament. And so he was encouraged, though, by Barnabas, the son of encouragement. And, you know, we can do this for one another. You know, I look at Louis. Louis is just a son of encouragement, isn't he? And so are you, Cheryl, because you guys are one. And you guys are always doing that to everybody. So beautiful. But there it is. Okay. So the last thing is comfort. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. That you can actually comfort somebody that's hurting. And that is a beautiful thing, by receiving a word from the Lord. Somebody that's just really down, really depressed, and you can share with them. I was encouraged one time by a brother that was actually being sarcastic with me, but he was quoting Scripture, and Scripture always works, right? I was bummed. I was on the phone with him. I just was so down. And he says, "Well, brother, yeah, the Scripture does say that whosoever believes on me, out of his innermost being will flow trickles of living water." And I said, "Bro, that's not what it says. It says rivers of living water." He says, "Right, so let's get with it, man." That's a great comfort to me to hear that from him. Isn't that true? And so, yeah, so if we speak a prophetic word, we can speak to edification, to build somebody up, exhortation, to encourage them to some kind of action, or comfort. And he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And this is really important to know. I've mentioned this several times over the last weeks. I know, and as we read this scripture, we know that when you speak and exercise your gift of tongues, you're actually building yourself up in the Lord. That's what you're doing. And if you, there was one sister in our church, she sits right there at the second service, but she's not there now. Right over there in the second service. But she shared with me that she has had the gift of tongues. And God's gifts and calling are without repentance. And so I encouraged her, you know, to stir up her gift. Stir it up and just begin to use it, because it is a beautiful gift, and it builds you up yourself. And so when I've shared with you, like I was just praying in tongues now when I was sitting there to come up, because I know, and this is what I pray. I say, "Lord, edify me." So I'm praying in the Spirit. "Edify me that I might edify these before you and through your word tonight." And that is a wonderful thing to do. So this is a Bible truth. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself. But he that prophesies is a little better, is what Paul's saying, because you're ministering love to others then. He who prophesies edifies the church, because people understand you. If you're speaking a prophecy, they understand what you're saying. But if you're speaking an unknown tongue, that no clue, you know. "I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying." And so, if there's an interpreter there, or God gives you the interpretation of your tongue, then you can edify the whole church. And that is a great, great blessing. "Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or prophecy, or by teaching or doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle?" So the Lord's just using an example here through Paul of musical instruments, and how, you know, the trumpet has certain things that the military do on it. Taps is for going to bed, and also for when someone passes away, and you understand that. But then there's another battle cry that's prayed on the trumpet. That means everybody charges. And so you can act on that because you understand what's going on. And so that's the point he's making. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? But if you're getting the charge, it goes something like this. Remember from the old John Wayne movies? That's probably not it. Okay, forget it. But anyway, I used to love the sound of that trumpet when I watched those movies. Who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise you, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore I know not the meaning of the voice. If I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaks a barbarian, and he that speaks shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel. And why is that? It's because of the love. Man, I just love spiritual gifts, but what I want to do is I want to excel to the edifying or the building up of the church. That's what I want to do with my life. And whatever spiritual gifts that takes and whatever God wants to give me to do that, that's what's important, and that's what's important to God. And so Paul's making that point. Therefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. That makes sense. If I speak out loud sometime up here, instead of to myself, to edify myself, if I speak out loud, I should pray for an interpretation for you so that you can be edified and built up. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, in this balancing or back and forth between the blessings of tongues and the blessings of prophecy, Paul is just trying to bring out the heart of it, the love of it, and to really speak to us about our balancing act that we have to work out with the Lord in using spiritual gifts. When we get to a verse like this, I just want to go to personal experience a little bit. I remember one time singing in the Spirit with a group that is a fellowship called Shekinah, and it's actually where our lead singer on Saturday night, Kurt, met his wife Debbie at Shekinah Fellowship in Long Beach. And that is where I hobnobbed with Greg Laurie a little bit. Greg Laurie used to have super long hair before he was called out to Riverside to start the church and stuff. And we both went to Shekinah and to hear Brant Baker. Brant Baker was the name of the pastor there. But they had this night that was a worship night where people would bring little tinkling bells and they would bring tambourines. And everyone sang in tongues at once. And it was so, I can't tell you how beautiful this was, because God orchestrated the sounds. And you start off, and first it sounds like a junior high band tuning up. You know? But then as people began to sing in the Spirit and use their gift, it all of a sudden there were different sounds coming from different places that matched sounds that were happening over here, and it just began to flow. Remember that, baby? Years ago, we just sat there and sang in the Spirit. And so that was a personal experience we had with. This is real. This is not something that the Bible is antiquey about. or, you know, yesteryear about. This happens. And just another personal experience real quick is that, and I think I shared this a couple of weeks ago, when Sherry and I took our granddaughter to Hawaii, we got a place on Hanalei Bay, which is in one of the most beautiful places in the world. And there were jetting cliffs all around us on this side, and an estuary in front of us with geese and different birds. And then Hanalei Bay just laid out right here. And we were sitting on the porch in our lanai thing that we rented, and there was nothing in our way of seeing just total beauty. And we began to pray together, and then Abigail, who was only 10 years old then, started praying in tongues and began to sing in tongues. She's a singer. She does singing for, she's been up here on our stage leading in worship, but she began to sing in tongues. And Sherry and I just joined with her. And that is one of the greatest moments in my entire life. Just to worship Jesus in such a pure way, singing together in tongues with my granddaughter and Sherry. I mean, it's just such a great memory, isn't it? And just to tell you, these things are real. This is real. And God does stuff like this. He's amazing. And He will be giving you your special experiences in Him. And every one of us will have an excitement to share something about what God has done. And this is this two of the things that happen to match verse 15 tonight that I'm sharing about our family and our experience. God is so good. Now, this is why I believe, and I just want to share this with you. I believe that the best, most well-rounded Christian is a Christian that goes to the larger meetings, and this is a larger meeting, and you know, and then a smaller meeting of, you know, five people, four people, and where you can allow things like this to go on. You become very accountable to one another. You get very close. And this helps you to stay closer to the Lord, because you're accountable to your brothers and sisters in your close-knit group. We have many of them throughout our church. We have women's prayer meetings with five and six in them. We have men's prayer meetings with five and six in them. And James is going to be leading a men's group pretty soon here. I think it's the 21st, right? 21st of August, he's going to be taking the Tuesday night group here. Anthony's actually moving to Arizona, who does it now. But there's small groups, and James will be leading a small group, and I lead two small groups, I think. I have the Board of Elders, too. Oh, Rod, isn't it a precious fellowship in the elders? I mean, it's just wonderful what God is doing there. And then there's bands. We have here this little band that's forming, and you never know who's going to be joining you as you go. But, you know, it's a close fellowship. You share your problems. You pray for each other. You know, isn't it sweet? And I encourage you to find yourself a small group in the church. There's many of them. Or just have some Christian compadres that you call. And seek together the gifts of the Spirit. Pray for one another for the gifts that God would give you. And for goodness sakes, if God gives you the gift of tongues, exercise it. Oh man, use it. Stir up your gift. Edify yourself through it. And then also your buddies. And this is where these things usually happen when you have this kind of thing going on. But we will, from time to time, have times when we can be prayed for to receive more gifts. And I encourage you to be open to any gift God wants to give you. And it's just an exciting adventure in the Lord. And it's just so edifying and wonderful. So here Paul is balancing these things again. It just makes sense for love's sake that, it, especially in a larger group like this or Sunday morning group, you know, that you're going to want to speak English. And so there are some groups that kind of get carried away sometimes, you know, and everybody's speaking in tongues at the same time. And well, let's go on, because there's warnings about that. Now, else when you shall bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you're saying. For you truly give thanks well, but the other is not edified. And now Paul says this, you see, he goes back and forth because he's balancing. Now he goes back and says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. So he's not putting down tongues. He says, I speak with tongues more than you all. And you know, I really get into this verse because, like I shared with you, when in the front row there, I'm getting ready to preach, I always pray in tongues. I do. I mean, so, you know, I might want to say this verse too. And when I'm walking and praying for you, Friday's my pray day and my prepare day for the sermon for the weekend, for Saturday night and Sunday morning, and I'll be, you know, walking to the park and praying. And as soon as I really get deep into prayer, tongues comes right up. And so in my quiet times, I'm praying in tongues. And that's what I do. So I understand verse 18. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet, in the church, I had rather speak 5 words. This is a heavy verse. 5 words with my understanding than by my voice I might teach others also. That by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. And so this is a kind of an exhortation. And so some churches have taken it, I think, too far, you know, where everyone is speaking in tongues at the same time. I heard a sad thing once. One of the brothers, now I love Pentecostal churches because I've been to many Pentecostal churches and had a blast. I'm an outgoing guy. I love to get loud. It's just great for me. Anyway, Sherry's a little calmer. She likes, she doesn't swing from chandeliers. She does not do that. She told me one time in the store, do not make a scene. And, you know, I remember that statement. I try to not make a scene. Okay, but anyway. So, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Okay, so this one brother was sharing, you know, he goes to a Pentecostal church, which I would be glad to go to, but he said, you know, it was really neat because we got so carried away speaking in tongues together, the preacher never got to his sermon. And that happens often, the preacher never gets to preach. And I'm thinking, that's sad, because we desire the sincere milk of the word, that we might grow thereby. So important to get the milk of the word. And so that's got to be, I think, in the larger meetings, the emphasis, because the prophetic word, and that's what this is, as we read next verse, next verse, next verse, is what makes us grow and to actually save our souls, because we're to receive the implanted and grafted word of God, that we might grow thereby. And the word of God is sharp and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Divides between the soul and the spirit. The soul is you. The spirit is the spirit of God. Between what you want and what God has for your life. And so the most well-rounded Christians are going to be really steeped in the word of God. Study to show yourself approved. A good workman unto God that needs not be ashamed. There's another scripture that says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we have to get the knowledge of the Word of God in us. So important. And so that's why there are meetings dedicated to that, like this one and like Sunday morning. But I do want to encourage you not to skip the other. You get together with other Christians. You get close. And I encourage you, too, to seek the Lord for your gifts and to exercise your gifts and be blessed with your gifts. I love our Thursday night group, Dennis. I'm looking at Dennis because he's part of the Thursday night group. And any of you men can come, well, Flavio too. And any of you men can come and pray with the men on Thursday night because we're very close and we share deep things and we pray our guts out And it's wonderful to be in that small group. So there it is. I remember just one time we had a group of young girls that met in our apartment, and then the boys came later. Of course, where the girls are, the boys will show up, I guarantee you. Our babysitter got saved, and so she brought her friends, and we had a group in our apartment. And then there was a 30-year-old girl who was a big sister of the little girls in our apartment. And she started coming, and she took them to a retreat. And she came back and she said, "Mark, I noticed one thing. Our girls were way more mature than most of the girls at that retreat, because they were just coming to the bigger event, but didn't really have a small group like ours where we pray for our problems and lay hands on people and pray for each other." And so that is when this whole doctrine began in my mind, to have a group that you can meet with and be close with in a smaller way, so you can talk and you can hear and you can give and you can take and you can share and be honest with each other. And then to have the bigger group to really study the Word and to get into the Scriptures. So there it is. Anyway, just my personal beliefs here. But it says in verse 20, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." Understand these words. "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will not they hear me, says the Lord." Now, this is a quote from the Old Testament. And what Paul's bringing up now is, as he's in his balancing act, is he's saying tongues is really good. It was prophesied about in the Old Testament. And I love this verse, so we're going to turn to it. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. By the way, you know, when I teach on tongues, sometimes I feel bad for those that haven't experienced it. If you really want to, if you you might be satisfied with the gifts God's given you, and that's because it's good, because God, it's the Lord that gives. But if you ever have a desire to receive the gift of tongues, just at any time, just come, let Sherry and I pray for you, that you would receive that gift. If God might put it on your heart to really want to seek after that gift, desire spiritual gifts, as it says. Well, anyway, let's go to Isaiah 28, verse 10. Now, this is why we go through the Bible. We're in Jeremiah now on Sunday morning, and we have 52 chapters, and we're on chapter 20, and we're going to do all 52 chapters, every single verse. Then we're going to the New Testament, and when we left the New Testament last time, we finished the book of Hebrews. And so we'll go to James, and we will start at James 1:1 and go verse by verse through all the rest of the books, and then get to Revelation, and we'll go verse by verse through the book of Revelation, and then go back to the Old Testament to Ezekiel. And so that's the way we do here at church. We go through the whole Bible. And been through it now a lot, and it's a great blessing to see everything God has to say. You know, just share a little personal testimony about that. When I was in second grade, I believe it was Vacation Bible School, that this happened to me, that I remember saying, actually to the Lord, because I was just speaking out into the air as I was a little kid sitting at the meeting, "Lord, I want to know every single story in the Bible." It was a passion in my heart. I want to know every single story in the Bible. And you know, God has been answering that prayer. And it is just the most wonderful thing. And it was His Spirit moving on my heart for that passion. And that is a passion I think He wants to build in all of us, really. We really want to know it, don't we? Don't you really want to know it? Don't you really want to know all of the stories in the Bible? Oh, yeah. It's an awesome thing. So it says precept must be upon precept. We need to read every single verse and see what God has for us in that verse. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, and line upon line. It says it twice. Here a little and there a little. And no, you just learn a little more each time. And you just grow and grow and grow. And then it says in verse 11, for with stammering lips, or with strange lips or strange languages. This is tongues. And this is the verse that's being referred to by Paul in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest. And he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit here. This is a rest that God wants to bring to your life. Man, when you can pray in the Spirit, whether in English or tongues, and you can just rest in the Lord, that's where real rest is. It says, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. Remember what Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest for your souls. And sometimes we just need to stop and pray. Jesus, I need you right now, looking to you. And that rest will come. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, as God gives us a refreshing. I will give you, as it says in Psalm 92, fresh oil. I love the fresh oil that God brings as he anoints us with his Holy Spirit again. We ask for his Holy Spirit again, and he blesses us with fresh oil, and it's awesome. And then he says, yet they would not hear. And that's why Paul is saying at the end of this verse in 1 Corinthians 14, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto the people, and yet for all that they will not hear, because that's the way it's said there in Isaiah 28. And because the people in Isaiah's time were giving the Lord trouble, they would not hear, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not for them that believe. We're back now in verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 14. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Now, to understand this first part of this verse, we just think of what happened in the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, and when the air conditioner goes on, reminds me of that right there in that corner. These things start blowing like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Spirit fell on those that were gathered together, 120 in the upper room. And they began to speak with tongues, and they began to speak in the languages from around the world. And the people heard the noise, and they came, and everybody heard Jesus Christ glorified in their own language. Isn't that precious? God cares enough to give you his word in your own language. And that's what he did on the day of Pentecost. And at that time, those that believed not at that time, this was a sign to them. Wow, this is from God. I'm hearing the mighty works of God in my own language. What a blessing. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying, like we're having tonight, the prophetic word going forth because we're reading his scriptures. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Because we grow, and we're edified, and we're exhorted. How many times have people come up to me after a sermon, and they're saying, it was like my wife called you, because what you said to tonight or today is exactly what I needed and what I needed to hear. And it's just amazing. But you know what that is? It's the Holy Spirit. It's God's Spirit speaking to you, not through me, but through His own Word. I'm just this mouthpiece. I open my mouth and He fills it. And He takes His beautiful Word, line upon line, precept upon precept, line upon line, and speaks to your heart. And you go, whoa, that's for me. And that's awesome. That's an awesome thing God does. And so the prophesying, you see, serves those that believe. That believe. Because the Word of God is changing your life. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned. Let's just say we're having church here tonight. We all started speaking in tongues out loud. And everybody's speaking a different language, and it's just all coming up. If somebody comes off the street, I think I'll go to church tonight, see what it's like. I think it's a bunch of mad people. People are crazy. Because that's what it says next. It says, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say that you are mad? That happened to us in our early pilgrimage. This has been a hard go for us, and I can see why the Apostle Paul just makes 40 verses out of chapter 14, because in balancing, it's difficult. And we have to grow, and we have to understand and get the balance right. But we took a girl that we love very much, Sherry and I. There's this one girl from the Presbyterian Church. We took her to Costa Mesa, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And Pastor Chuck wasn't teaching that night, but Lonnie Frisbee. And I don't know how many of you might know him, but he was very Pentecostal. And so he would get people going in tongues. And so we were sitting in the foyer with her because there wasn't enough room in the church. And so everybody started off in tongues, and her eyes got big. Just remember that? And she said in so many words, I am so out of here. And she ran out the back door, and we had to chase her. And see, I can't remember her name now. Was it Sandy or something? Anyway. But I just said, I'm sorry. This isn't anything that's going to bite you or be bad. It's kind of good. But she actually thought we were a bunch of crazy loons in there with the tongues. And so it happened to us. It happened to us. So he said, we need to look at this again, how we're going to do our church and how we're going to be. We need to look at it. And so, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believes not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. And so people get saved from understanding the gospel. And so this is what Paul's saying here. So in his balancing back and forth, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying, to edify. And so there's two ways to see this verse, and I think they're both right. One is, it's saying that if everybody comes with something to say, then everybody's going to be saying something, and there's going to be confusion and chaos, and it's not going to help anybody. But it also is saying, I believe, that everyone can come with a psalm and with a doctrine and with a tongue and a revelation and interpretation. But do everything just to edify. Remember to wait for your turn. And many times, like I said, people will come to church with a word for the person next to them. And it's no big deal. I mean, when I say that, it's no big deal. It is a big deal that you have a word for the person next to you. But it's not any fanfare thing. because Jesus is not a loud person. You'll never hear his voice in the streets. He is underneath the radar, and he's just there to help. He's just there to just help some poor soul out of their problem. And maybe you've got a word for them. And you know, when you say it, you're not going to hear trumpets or fanfare, and everybody's going to get up and clap for you. And it's going to be something that calls attention to you. But it's going to be you loving somebody. And it's going to be wonderful. Because it's a word from God to edify and build up. And there it is. And so when we come together, yes, we come together with different things to offer each other, but we do it decently and in order and with humility before the Lord. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it... So he begins now to give rules about it. He says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three, and that by course, or taking turns, where a person would stand up and say something that way, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, and sometimes you're just not sure anybody's going to interpret, so sometimes it's better just not to do it. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God, just edifying and building up himself. And that's what I do most of the time. And it's a good thing. So let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. Now, I had an experience about this, and the Lord does this. He's real kind. I'll have an experience in the same week of a verse that we're in, and I did with this one. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. So, three people have a prophecy to say or something, then you listen, and we do that right here. As we gather in our prayer circle, I've had prophecies from Dennis. Yes, Dennis, I'll point you out, Dennis. You're right there. He's had prophetic words, and they bear witness, and they just go, yeah, okay, Lord, that's you. And I've heard other things from others of you. So that happens. But again, it's no big deal. There's no fanfare. There's no applauding. It's just Jesus loving us through one another as we say words from him. So you let the prophets speak two or three. In other words, just kind of bringing down the numbers. You know, you're not going to let 200 people. You know, that'll be crazy and things will get out of hand, you know, and so forth. And people start saying things that aren't from God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. This happened last Thursday night. John Luke was starting to close the meeting with, because we sing a song at the end of each meeting on Thursday night at the men's prayer meeting. And, you know, I just felt a prophecy coming up. This is the way it is for me. I just feel something from God special for the men coming up. And so I said, John, wait, I think I might have a prophecy. And so John said, okay, yeah, go ahead. And so I had this prophecy that came out about the love of God, how God loved each man individually and was just excited about each man individually. And it was really precious. And then John said, I needed that so bad, Mark. Thank you for obeying the Lord. And so he's another that judged. He judged the prophecy. It just happened very naturally. And then I looked over to the man to my left, and he went, oh man, that was so great. And then I looked at Perry, who was there, and Perry shook his head. Yeah, that was from God. And it was just not any big deal, but it was this verse. Let the prophets prophesy, and let the others judge. Was that from God or not? And those brothers were saying, yeah, that was from God. And it was so satisfying to know it was from God, and we were all edified together. So I'm speaking from personal experience. I just don't know how else to teach. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women... Now, okay, here's something we really need to read, and I need to talk on. Okay, you guys ready for this one? Yeah, okay, here we go. Do I still have some time? I do. I've got 16 minutes. This is great. Okay, so I'm going to speak slowly so you can understand this, I hope. Okay, here we go. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also says the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for the women to speak in the church. Now that sounds horrible when you first read it. But we have to go back, and you have to do this much with the Bible. You have to go back to the historical setting and what's happening here. Because we know from other scripture in the book of Acts, Philip had four daughters in the church in his home who prophesied. So if you look at this and take it as you would first take it, it's not right, because you balance scripture with scripture. Philip had four daughters who prophesied, brought forth the word of God. And so if it was true, you shouldn't have the women speak. I mean, that's not going to work. This is it here. They studied the histories, and what was going on is these people were practicing Jewish practices in the first churches. Why? Because they were Jewish. And this is happening today at the Wailing Wall in Israel. The men are on one side of the church, and the women are on the other side of the church. And they had problems that some of the women were popping up in the middle of the church service and going, "Hey, Harry," to their husband on the other side of the church. And it was disruptive. And so Paul's speaking to that. He's correcting things in Corinth. And even today, you go to Israel and you go to the Wailing Wall, this sacred wall where you make a prayer request and you stick it in the wall, you know, there. It's part of the temple. There's the women's side and the men's side. And so the men have to wear little hats. If you go as a tourist, a Christian tourist, to the Wailing Wall, they will provide for you a little hat, a little Jewish hat, to wear, and you just put it on your head, and it's paper, it's made out of paper, because they don't want to give you anything, you know, that's worth anything, but they just give you a little paper hat, and then you go up to the Wailing Wall. If you're a man on this side, or if you're a woman, it's like this, men and women, and you can't, you know, be together. It's just the way it is. It's Jewish tradition. Tradition! And that's what they see here in this thing, that you see the women that were yelling across the church to their husbands, they should wait until they go home if they have a question for their husband. That's what it says. Let them ask their husbands at home. And so that is the whole picture, and it makes it then easier to understand what's being said here. It's so good as we study the Bible to get the history. It's really important. And also the context and what's happening. So there it is. Now, let's go to verse 36 then. I missed a verse somewhere here I wanted to get to you with. Where is that verse, Lord? I don't want to skip that, Lord. Yes, let's go back to verse 31, because this is too important just to miss. We're okay, we have 10 minutes. For you may all prophesy. Now, can you see that what we've been saying is true by this verse? Every one of you, God has designed you a free agent, but in your free agency, if you choose to follow Him, every single one of you can get a word from God. Yes, you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Because what? Prophecy brings comfort. Many times this has happened here at our church, when someone says something and comforts the whole church. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. In hard times and so forth, maybe we're having fires, whatever. I said, Lord, thank you that you're the author of care and compassion, and take care of the people in the fires, and it just speaks to us and comforts us. You may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. So this works into the idea that everyone has a psalm, a hymn, a prophecy, a tongue, interpretation, tongue, so every one of us can have something from the Lord. Now, let me give you a New Testament scripture that enlarges upon this and perhaps makes it more understandable. Let's go to 1 Peter 4:11 on this, and then we'll read the rest of the chapter real quick. So 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11. You guys will probably be thinking hard about this, and trying to figure out a word for somebody here at church. And you know, it'll come when you least expect it. You know, you'll start sweating over it, you know. Do I have a word for somebody? You know, but hey, don't do that. Just trust God and just speak your normal language and just be yourself. And you never know when God's going to use you. God has used so many of you right here with me so many times. It's just wonderful. A word of encouragement, a word of comfort, a word of edification, and it just happens. It's natural because you're walking with Jesus Christ. And if you've spent a lot of time with Him in a certain day, I guarantee you, God will use you. If you've been in the Word, you've been talking to the Lord, you've been just loving Him, the next person you see, 9 times out of 10, you'll have something for them from God. You will. Because you're representing Jesus. You're walking in the Spirit. And it's awesome. It's just an awesome way to live. It's just beautiful when that happens. Okay, where am I going? 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. Now it says this in 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, whenever you speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. Watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. A soft answer turns away wrath, the Bible says. So many great things said about a good word in Proverbs. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. You wait on the Lord and you just be yourself in Jesus, loving the Lord. And so you just do it as God gives you the ability. Don't force it, don't push it. Just let God do it through you. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that is the point that I was trying to make when I've said several times through the study, it's no big deal. Don't make a big deal out of it. God gets the glory. We're not doing it to be seen, or we're not doing it to be fanfared. We're just doing it because of the love of Jesus for the person next to us, and for the body of Christ being built up, exhorted, and comforted. So it says, let him do it as to the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion and power forever and ever. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians and finish chapter 14. The reason we're doing such a long chapter in one sitting is that these things all tie together, and I didn't want to break them up. And so it says in verse 36 then, 1 Corinthians 14, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I have, that I write unto you, are the commandments of the Lord. Real important to know that these things, these balances that Paul brings to the use of the gifts of the Spirit, are commandments of the Lord. And that's why Sherry and I have struggled so much through the years to do it right. And we're always trying to find that sweet spot. And I know Jimmy and Christy have been in the same place, you know, just to do it right. And I'm so glad they're here, because they've had a lot of experience with the Holy Spirit. And they've been to lots of Pentecostal churches too that have been a blessing, that really didn't break the rules, I don't think. I didn't see your church breaking the rules when I went, you know. But this is really good to know that these are the commandments of the Lord. So we just try to do our best, right? To follow what it says here, because it's the Lord speaking. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. That's God's freedom of choice, you know. Oh, man. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and for goodness sakes, don't forbid to speak with tongues. Don't forbid that. It's just a blessing. Let all things be done decently and in order. And I think that's the bottom line, and it is the bottom line. It's the last verse in chapter 14. We just want to do everything decently and in order, because that's who our God is. He's not a God of confusion. You know, I'd like to share an example. I have 4 minutes, so I'm good with this. Anyway, of the difference between decently and in order and not. For me, some of the high school graduations have gotten out of order, with people, you know, smarting off and doing weird stuff, you know, and you just... But I went to a graduation of the United States Marine Corps at Camp Pendleton, and man, I loved it. It was decently and in order. And all those men spoke with one voice. Hoorah! Semper Fi! I mean, they just said everything at the same time. And I found out later they practiced for weeks, you know, to just get it right. And after that graduation was over, I just had a peace. I thought, man, that whole graduation just ministered peace, you know. So this is what God's saying. He said, you know, we need to just do things decently in order. We don't want to forbid any of the gifts. We don't want to forbid people from having emotional experiences, you know. Man, I don't know what I would do without emotional experiences. I love emotional experiences. But we just do it in the Spirit and waiting upon the Lord. Now, there's another scripture I missed. I must have missed a whole section of scripture, but anyway, it says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, if you want to stop, you can stop right now. And it says, if somebody else next to you has something else to add, stop and let them add it. So everything's done decently and in order. Nobody hogs the show, and you know, when you're together in your smaller groups and you're seeking spiritual experiences, you know. And so that's really good. These are all good things that the Apostle Paul had to say to us from the Lord. So let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this instructive chapter 14. That just lays out how you would have things done and how things fit together. And Lord, we thank you so much for this. And Father, we certainly do want to experience spiritual gifts. And Lord, we don't want to be afraid of them. And Lord, we don't want to kind of get excessive with them either, to scare people to death or just make things uncomfortable, Lord. We want to edify and comfort and exhort one another, and that you would keep working with us, Father, and please bring us into the experiences that you have for us along these lines. We thank you, Father. We love you so much, Jesus. And thank you for that the greatest thing of all is love. And so, Lord, just continue to cause waves of love to break over our congregation. And Lord, thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, Louie and Cheryl, can you guys do the prayer room tonight? Yeah, thank you. If you need prayer for anything, you'd like to pray, you would like to actually ask God for gifts that God wants to give you. You know, we continue to be in the gifts of the Spirit, so we've had several times and opportunities for that if you'd like to do that. So, prayer room's over there, and may the Lord bless you and give you just a beautiful evening in Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.